Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of the Arcade Repair Tips Question and Answer Podcast. I'm Jonathan Leung, the producer, director, and editor of the Arcade Repair Tips video series. And with me today is Mr. Arcade Repair Tips himself, Tim Peterson. How you doing, Tim?
Doing fine, Jonathan. How are you guys out there in webland?
I hope everybody's doing good this evening. We got a really positive response from our first podcast, and we'd like to thank everybody who listened to it and hope that you enjoy this one, too. Before we get started into our new questions this week, though, we did want to kind of cover some of the ground that we covered on the first one, maybe review some of the people who had responded. Last time, we had a message from Atari Forever 2002 talking about using the 8-liner's chassis on some tubes he had lying around. And he wrote back to us saying that he doesn't think he's ready for a video yet, but thanks for answering it on your podcast. Great job, by the way. Keep them coming. Well, we really like to hear that kind of stuff. It's very encouraging to me and Tim. And, you know, we're glad you enjoyed it there, Atari Forever 2002. So, we also had a reply from Rick Anzalone. He had a Donkey Kong 2 issue that he was troubleshooting, and he writes back to us saying, "As far as the sound problem, I replaced the 8035 chip on the CPU board and all the sounds work properly. I installed a cap kit, but my problems still remain. However, I did find that somebody had replaced them before, and one of the values were wrong, and it repaired a problem I was having with the screen being divided when turning on. The color problem is this. Everything that would be white is green, the red and blue are very dark, and has trouble making browns, pinks, and purples. I replaced chips at 2E CPU, 2F CPU, and 2N video, and there was no change. These are chips for the color. I'd like to know if the Z80 chip processes the color before sending it to the monitor, or if this is a monitor issue. Thanks again." So Tim, what do you think Rick's problem is this time?
Well, we're going to start. I'm going to ask a few questions, and Rick, I really would like the answers. First of all, you said Donkey Kong 2. You sure you don't mean Donkey Kong Jr. or Donkey Kong 3? Or do you actually mean Donkey Kong 2, which is a brand new game that's only been out like a year?
Yeah, I think the subtitle on that is, what, The Return of Jumpman? Something like that?
Yeah.
The actual Donkey Kong 2.
And I'm saying that not to pick on you or anything. I want to know exactly which game you have. So please send me a picture and let me look at it, because it still really sounds to me, Jonathan, like he has a wiring issue.
Yeah.
Like something is just not wired up right. You remember from your board, no matter what kind of Donkey Kong that you have, there's a video red, video green, video blue, sync, and ground wire. And those, if they're not hooked up correctly, it is possible that you do have a board issue and maybe something that we're not quite as familiar with. And I do want to offer this. I do have a Donkey Kong. I do have JAMA Games. If you're not sure whether it's your monitor, we really need to test something else in your monitor, or the other alternative is, Jonathan, he can send us the board and let us test and rule out whether it's his board or not.
Sure. Yeah, and we encourage that. You know, whenever we have a JAMA cabinet, excuse me, especially, we really tend to hook up a working board to see if not it's our cabinet or our board that's having the issue. That's really one of the first things in troubleshooting. We want to determine if our board is having the issue or if our monitor is a lot of times. And Tim's right. Plugging in another similar board into that same game will let us know whether or not we're having a monitor issue or if we're having a board issue.
Yeah, and Rick, let us know. I want to see some pictures of this board setup and of your screen. Shoot a short video if you can. Even if it's just something you send on your phone, you want to send to my phone. That'll be perfectly fine. The last part of this, you asked this question, is the Z80 processor chip affecting the color? The answer there would be no. It doesn't affect your color. If you're having problems with your Z80, you're going to have a lot more than color issues. And I asked a good friend of mine, hope he's listening, that would be Matt. I said, Matt, have you ever heard of a Z80? He says, no. And since he used to work for Texas Instruments and back in the day, I would think he's pretty knowledgeable on the subject. So let's exclude the Z80 processor from this problem. We'll go from here, okay?
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, and Rick, yeah, I think the best thing, like Tim said, just get us some video or a little, a couple pictures, and let's take a look at it. So, with that being said, let's move on. We also had another response from Michael Varcade. Last time he was having some problems with his Capcom Bowling, if you remember. He writes us saying he's still having trouble. "While I'm back with a new problem. While I have not fixed the color problem in my Capcom bowling machine, a new, bigger problem has popped up. My screen has begun to scroll. I figured it was a simple tuning issue, but when I went in the back, I could not find the knob to tune it. I have a video here for you to watch so you can see the problem. Thanks again. Now, this time we were actually able to view your video, Michael, and we have a couple of things. Me and Tim both kind of saw on your chassis is that the knobs are actually not knobs, right, Tim?
Yeah, well, they're potentiometers, but for one of the average layman out there, you're not going to call that a knob. And what I told Jonathan is, at the end of this podcast, we'll shoot a video short. I have a chassis that looks just like yours, and I'll show you what you need to turn to adjust to do that. What you actually need is a small screwdriver. I'm a big, huge fan of the Hap screwdriver. In fact, I feel like naked or lost without mine. I'll be screaming, "Where's my screwdriver?" If you guys go to Hap Control's website and type in this item number, the word screwdriver Hap, H-A-P-P, a little tool will come up. It costs like $1.50. The next time you order some buttons or something from them, get you about 10 of them. And what it does is allows you to pull the end of the screwdriver out and switch it from Phillips to standard. Great for fixing coin jams, adjusting coin mechs. I use that thing every day. I rub the word Hap off in about a week because it's always in my pocket and everything. But I'll show you how to take a Hap screwdriver or a small jeweler's type screwdriver, and we'll do that adjustment here in just a little bit. Thank you for the video, though, and we're sorry you haven't been able to fix your other problem, but don't give up, and we're going to make sure that we walk you through that. We're going to get you going. Again, maybe the same issue. Do you have another way to test this board? Are we sure that the problem is in your board or your monitor? If you're not sure, we're offering this service free of charge. If you'll just pay the shipping, you can send the board to us. We will test it. We'll take pictures. We'll at least help to rule out something, and want to offer that to you too, Michael.
Sure. Yeah, it really sounds like this is definitely a hold problem, Michael. You know, probably in your horizontal or something like that. And you know, we just really need to kind of show you that. And here in a second after the podcast, we'll tape a little video for you, kind of showing you how to adjust those, because we did see your video and we did see these adjustments on yours. So it sounds like a good idea, Tim. So we'll we'll go from there. Okay, well that about wraps it up for the responses from our last show. Now we're going to move on to some of the questions we got via YouTube this week. We have one from Rejected Maniac. He says, "I bought my first arcade machine Saturday, and I have a slight problem with it. It is a dedicated MK1 cabinet with Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 in it, with a Philips monitor. Sometimes while playing, I will notice that, like, it will tend to flicker in certain spots of the screen and tend to jump a tiny bit up and down, but goes back into place. I was wondering what could possibly cause this. I am working, I'm working to getting it fully restored, and this is a hiccup I've run into. I have already fixed the coin door lights, bad connector in the back of the cab. I would love to get this monitor fixed. I have asked people on different forums with no luck and figured I would ask you guys. If you want, I can try to shoot a video of what's happening, but it's hard to catch because it happens at any given time. I have tapped on the frame of the monitor and it doesn't seem to jump at all. Any suggestions? Thanks a lot." So, Tim, you know, we're obviously having some monitor issues, it sounds like, here. And what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, he used the word flicker. And I like that word because it describes a monitor condition that I generally see caused from a power supply issue.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely need to look at our videos on checking a power supply. You need to check the voltage. You might tweak the voltage a little bit. It probably might not have anything to do with your
monitor.
With your monitor at all,
right.
but it might. Okay, there's other. So first thing we want to check though is your. Here, we're going to start like this. First thing I would do, if this was my game, I would check my ground plug to the wall. We want to make sure that your game is properly grounded. You know, there's three prongs sticking out of a plug, and the one that's not like everybody else's round, that's your ground plug. Check and make sure that that's good. You may have a power grounding issue, too, causing that. You're getting little spikes. I notice that sometimes when my air conditioner comes on, sometimes in the house, we'll be in the shop and some of my screens will flicker. You get that power surge, but I doubt that's his problem, but I'm just saying the grounding part is important. Your power supply is important. Now we go to your monitor. You could have a cold solder joint. I would check where the wires go from your video coming in, reflow the solder on the back side of that.
Yeah, there's usually pins right about there where you plug into, right there on those pins. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and especially, I'm not sure exactly where he lives, but it's cold here tonight. And if it's cold in Texas, it's cold in the rest of the United States. So, it could be like, could be a chip on the board causing other issues. Again, this is why you guys with JAMA Games, buy a junk JAMA board. We have about a stack over here of about five or six Street Fighters. And because Street Fighter boards at one time were going real cheap, but yeah. Maybe we ought to sell some of them now.
Well, maybe something maybe something on the low end of JAMA scale. I don't know what's out there right now, but, like maybe an old Golden Tee Golf board.
Yeah.
Something,
just to test to rule out board issues. So this is something I want to really emphasize. You guys get, if they have JAMA games, get you something that you can test on like that. So that would help him rule that out. But, it's a good thing, though, that you got a game, and it doesn't sound like too major of a problem. No. And you want to make sure also, he says he tapped on the frame of the monitor. It doesn't seem to jump at all. That tends to get me away from your monitor. That's where I first started with your power supply. And remember, your power supply controls all the voltages and stuff in your game, your video and stuff that goes to your monitor. So sometimes, it can do that. I would love to see a video of it, but I know that's probably pretty hard to do. But maybe even if you sit there and timed the video and had to go back and just edit that part of the video,
yeah.
Maybe you can do that or play it for a while.
We're talking about like Steve Wiebe world record attempt trying to record video, right?
Yeah.
Sit there, play the game like you're trying to go for the world record and just film the whole thing and see how it goes.
Maybe he's that good at Mortal Kombat. I don't know. You might just be that hot. You're tearing the game up. I'm not sure. But let's keep in contact about this one. I want you to check that ground plug. I want you to check the power supply and get back to us.
It sounds like a plan. And I agree with Tim on the tapping of the frame. If it was a cold solder joint, you would think that tapping the frame would probably cause some issues. If it's not causing any issues, you might not have one, or it might just be, kind of an in and out kind of thing too. I mean, it still could be a problem, but it definitely helps us eliminate some things.
Yeah,
great description. We really appreciate it when you guys describe it well. And, try those things like Tim said and get back to us about how it's going to go.
If it would have been a bad electrical problem, Jonathan tapping on his frame probably would have killed him.
It would have been a really bad one.
No, that's what we would have done. We would, I don't know if I'd done it with my finger, but we'd tap a little bit on there. That's a good way to determine something like that, not hurting anything. Of course, don't do it with a sledgehammer.
There you go. Well, I hope we answered your question well, Rejected Maniac. That's the only YouTube question we got this week. So we'll go ahead and move on to our website questions. And right after we record the last podcast, we actually got one from Alejandro Anivas. And I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. I hate it when people mispronounce mine, but that's the best I can do. So sorry, Alejandro. But I'll go on with your mail here. It says, I'm emailing you today because I've had some color issues with my Miss Pac-Man and was hoping you could help. I have had it professionally capped, but I'm still experiencing problems with the color. As you can see in the attached video, the first maze is green instead of pink, and the ghost turned red instead of blue when being chased. Also, some objects like cherries and green as well. I have tried to adjust the color pots in the back, but to no avail. The chassis was tested, and I was told it was running smoothly with no issues after having a cap kit and a new flyback installed. Just to note, the color problem was an issue before having my Geo7 capped. I figured it might fix this problem, but even if it didn't, it would probably still be a good idea. This seems like the game board problem now, and I have used the pencil eraser trick before, and it didn't seem to change anything. I was thinking of reseating the ROMs next, but other than that, I am not sure what else to do. If you can offer any advice, it would be greatly appreciated. Tim, what do we got here?
Sounds like he's got the Jolly Roger syndrome. He's got all these different colors and different things. Generally, when you start talking about that, especially on a Pac-Man board, you're right. The color ROMs are a great place to start. Two in particular that I want you to check are 4A and 7F. 4A and 7F. Check them two out. You can get those ROMs for about $7.50 each from Bob Roberts, and I know there's links to Bob Roberts on our site, and we appreciate Bob and all the work that he does. One of our favorite vendors.
And if not, we'll go ahead and give him a free plug. You can always go find his website at therealbobroberts.net. And like Tim said, one of our favorite suppliers. Now, Tim, you know, he did mention that he got his monitor recapped and a new flyback put on, and that even if it didn't solve the problem, it'd still be a good idea. And we definitely agree with that idea.
Right.
We definitely want you guys to, you know, install new caps, get a new flyback on there. It will definitely improve your monitor, regardless of whether or not it solves your color problem, like in this case.
You can hardly ever go wrong, especially if you're trying to restore and keep a game by doing that. And that's why we often tell people, well, try CapKit or try to do that. Because when he gets his board fixed, he's also going to have a really super sweet-looking monitor. I bet even though his colors are off, I bet they're really bright and pretty anyway. So.
Sure. Well, Alejandro, we hope that answers your question about your Pac-Man game. And, you know, like we said, I think that you know, hopefully those color problems will be the solution for that. So now let's move on to Jacob A. He writes in, I have a question concerning my Pac-Man Cocktail Arcade. It was made around 1981 in Franklin Park, Illinois. When I plug it in, the picture comes on and Pac-Man does his rounds, but the power pellets never go away. And then the picture will fade away. Please help. So Tim, what question, you know, what answer do you have for Jacob here with his issue with his Pac-Man Cocktail?
Well, he definitely wins the award for something I have never seen on a Pac-Man game. And that's a lot, Jacob. But don't fret, because it's some kind of one of the PROMs or ROMs. And if you'll refer back to the one we just talked about, guys, Bob Roberts sells a whole set of the color ROMs, the EPROMs and stuff, which is... So what you should do, you guys should get a set just to have around. And that'll give you some practice, too, even if you're kind of shotgunning this approach. I'm going to have to do a little more research on this one, and maybe we can find out. I think some of those same chips, though, could be your issue, too, that we talked about. I would really love to see a video of what you're talking about, it the fading away. That's really got me intrigued, because I don't quite know what that means, but... I would like to see that. Only time I've seen something like that be a bad tube. But at the same time, get us a video or a picture of the fading away, or a couple pictures of what's going on with your screen, and email those pictures to me, and we'll get to doing some little bit more research on that. But a quick approach would probably get with Bob Roberts and get a set of chips.
Yeah, and I think Tim's right. A lot of times when you see random elements on a Pac-Man screen, you're going to have some problems in your PROMs, your EPROMs, your ROMs. And this is probably the case here, Jacob. So, you know, but, you know, always, as always, you know, we encourage you guys, if you guys are going to ask a question, you know, go ahead and send in a video. Send in a picture.
Yeah, that's why we shoot videos of our repairs.
Sure.
Because it's trying to tell somebody sometimes, but if we show somebody, and that's the way I learn. Somebody show me how to do something, I can do it. And so, you guys, please keep sending questions, but a picture's worth a thousand words sometimes. Let us see. I can look at something, and I can tell you a lot of times better.
Sure. So, Dave, you know, just, or Jacob, whenever you get a chance, just send us in, you know, send us in some of that, and let's take a look at it. Otherwise, try those PROMs out and see if they don't work for you. Now we're getting to Dave. We have Dave Nutini. And he writes a question saying, I just purchased an NBA Jam machine, and I lugged it inside, plugged it in to find that I can hear the power working. However, just a black screen and no game. Not sure where to look or what to do. Any tips on how I can get this working? Thanks.
Well, the first key here is he says he just purchased it. I'm assuming that at the time you purchased it, it was working, Dave, and let us know that. Or did you just purchase it like at an auction or something where they didn't even plug it in? Because if it was working and it's not working, probably just something came loose. If it wasn't working in the beginning or you're not sure, then we're going to dig a little deeper. First things that you're going to check on a dead game is you want to, you said you hear the power working. Well, hearing and knowing, you know, what kind of power, the lights?
You know, a lot of times when you hear that power hum, it's the monitor. right, Tim? When you hear like a little hum coming from your game, a lot of times that might be the monitor hum, but it might not necessarily mean that your power supply is working. It might mean you're getting AC voltage, but your power supply might not be working in that case.
Right. You want to check your power supply. A lot of times you hear this phrase, is there any neck glow? Well, you can turn out the lights, turn on the game, see if the back of the neck of the monitor is glowing. You should, though, if the monitor is fine, you should have game sounds. If it was a board issue only, I'm really wanting to know about your power supply. If you're not comfortable on how to check it, refer back to our videos. Just email me again, ask me exactly what to do. Take a picture of your power supply. I will tell you exactly how you can check that. You need to purchase a multimeter, even if it's a $2 one from Harbor Freight or something. You know, get you a multimeter if you don't have one. Look at the First Arcade Toolbox video, and you know, maybe we can help you with that.
I would also highly recommend the article that Tim wrote on basic troubleshooting of an arcade game. Very informative, very good at letting you know where to start, especially if you're new to this, Dave. Definitely recommend that. That's an article, though, does not have a video with it. So, but do a search on our website. I believe it's under the beginner, and you know, you'll see it there. But that's a great first place to start if you're just troubleshooting a game for the first time. So basic troubleshooting of an arcade game.
Yeah. Thanks for writing in, though, Dave. And let's keep in contact because I want to know about this power working. Do you see coin lights? Do you see a marquee light? Those are AC lights and a lot of times don't have anything to do with your power supply, which we call a switching power supply because it actually switches the AC or alternating current to direct current or DC current. So get us some pictures, guys. It's going to help you.
Yeah.
We're going to help you.
And we hate to keep harping on the pictures and the videos and stuff like that, but, you know, like in Michael's case, we talked about Michael's problem with his Capcom bowling earlier. The video told us so much about the problem he was having.
Yep.
And allowed us to better and more effectively troubleshoot his problem. And that's what we're here to do. We're trying to help you guys kind of troubleshoot the problems that you guys are having. And the easiest way for us to do that is if we can kind of see what you're seeing, get some angles, you know, get some images and things like that to where we can kind of take an assessment of it. And, you know, so we do highly recommend that. It's not required that you do that. You can write us. We don't mind. But on some of these problems, especially with monitor problems, we really do appreciate, you know, having a photo, having a video.
Yeah, and if you're ugly, get the prettiest girl you know, and she can point it out for you or something. We might hire her.
There you go. We're looking for some.
Just so.
Huh? Okay, well, with that being said, we'll move on. We have a question from Alan. And Alan writes, I have a Lethal Enforcers 2 game. Well, that sounds familiar. I think we've had one of those before.
A couple of them.
Yeah. That has had very little use, and I bought from an original owner a year ago. It sat in the living room all the time. No problems until last night. A week ago, I plugged in a Lethal Enforcers 1 board, which I got on eBay. I used it for one game, and it worked fine, except the audio was in and out. Or actually out of one speaker. When I turned it on, the game last night, I heard an odd sound, and it turns out that on the monitor, I was getting about a 1-inch blue arc. Loud and crackling. I unplugged the board completely, and when I turned it back on, the power was still arcing. Any thoughts? So, Tim, it looks like we had a working game. We plugged a Lethal Enforcers 1 board in. It worked for a bit. And then all of a sudden, we started getting some weird stuff coming off our monitor. What could be the problem?
That was one Lethal Enforcer. you know, it sounds like it could be the board. Just time something went in through feedback, could have been your monitor's time. Yeah, you know, arcing on monitors, not a good thing. We've seen flames, we've seen sparks, pretty much 4th of July coming out of those guys, so let's be careful there. You should have a plug going to your monitor that provides the power. Should be a couple wires. Let's unplug your monitor and turn your game on and let's see if it's playing blind. Because if your board was okay and it was just your monitor's time to go, you should still hear sounds and it should coin up or try to play. If you're not hearing any sounds other than we know you were having a sound problem. Also, I'm thinking, John, that Lethal Enforcers may require -5 volts. There's something I remember about the sound on that.
You know, you might be right. I remember there was something odd. I remember we had to run something kind of special for that particular game. -5 sounds correct, but don't quote me on that. But, I mean, definitely, if you can run that -5, why not do it?
It's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt. Check your power supply. You see a -5 volts. down there, make sure that that wire is hooked up. But that just has to do with the sound. What you're talking about, you know, sounds much more serious. It could be that your flyback is just gone. And that's where the arcing you're talking about, is it coming from like around the anode area up near the top?
Yeah, the suction cup. When we say anode, like around the suction cup, or is it coming from the actual chassis? I think that's a good question.
But man, sometimes I know that arcing can be coming from several different things. Alan, I'm gonna actually just not... I don't know how else to say this, unless you've really got some experience, and it is your monitor chassis, that's probably one you're going to need to send in.
Yeah.
And we can repair it, or we can... That's very dangerous, guys. If you're seeing arcing flames from your monitor, it's either time to get another one or send it to us for repair or something. Let's stay away from that monitor area, but check, unplug it, and let's check out and see, without power to that monitor, what kind of... board sounds or play that is still going on.
You know, with that kind of arcing going on too, Tim, I wonder what kind of discharge he's going to get off that monitor when he tries to discharge it.
Yeah.
And you definitely want to be very careful when you do that. If you are going to send in the chassis for repair, you know, when you have to discharge that, just be very careful.
Well, you're not going to get any more than probably normal as long as he does not have that power plugged in.
Oh, of course.
Okay, so just let's first thing you need to do for safety and everything, let's get that monitor unplugged if the arcing's coming from there, and we'll go from there.
That sounds like a good plan. You know, that will help us identify, like you said, whether or not, you know, our board got fried in the process.
It's shorting somewhere, and that's one of those areas when I'm saying send it in, I'm not going to sit here and guess. I would guess flyback, but that would be something better for us to look at with Michael or something, because... I do not want your hands in there. Let's just send that one in, get it repaired, get it fixed, or get you another monitor.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it gets real dangerous at this point, and we don't want harm coming to anybody. You know, you guys, especially, you know, remember to take all the necessary precautions when working on arcade games. Make sure that you don't get shocked. I mean, me and Tim, we use rubber gloves and all sorts of other things, you know, eye goggles, whatever we have to use to keep from sustaining too much damage when we're working on arcade games, so... You know, very important to wear the right safety equipment. Okay, Alan, well, you know, I hope that, you know, at least gives you some ideas, you know, of what to do. You know, flyback, you know, I think is a pretty good source of that issue. So let's move on to our last question of the night. We got Justin here, and Justin says, I just bought your DVD.
Yay! Hey!
And I am rather impatient and have a question about my Centipede monitor. Well, we're here to help. This screen is not the full width of the monitor. Sort of scrunched in the vertical direction. I cannot find any knobs to adjust. Any ideas?
Well, I think we can refer back to the earlier question that we had and the video that we're going to shoot. It may not be a knob like we're talking about. You could actually have... you got... A lot of times we get mixed up on vertical and horizontal, too. Remember that what a lot of people call vertical is actually horizontal. I want a picture of this, Justin, to make sure which one you have. It can be capacitor if it's a vertical problem and you cannot adjust it out. More than likely, it's a horizontal problem, and that you guys seen those capacitors on a board? I always say they look like chiclets. They're kind of rectangular shape, usually bright orange and stuff like that. Bob Roberts sells a kit that repairs that. For each different monitor, and you can get that kit and replace all those. And you can read them like capacitors. They have capacitance, but it's so hard sometimes to read the values on them. That's one thing I do when I've got that problem is just replace them all.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that's a good idea in this case.
But it could just be an adjustment too, Justin.
Sure.
So we're going to watch the short video we're going to shoot here in a few minutes on how to adjust those type monitors.
And also watch our video on adjusting an arcade monitor. That's a really good one, you know, for just a basic repair. You know, that gives you familiar with kind of where everything is on a monitor chassis, especially the adjustments. So you might also take a look at that one. So
it could possibly be your width coil too. But is this a new problem? Because if it's a width coil that's always been, it might adjust out. Most of the time, though, width coils just, you know, they work sometimes, but I doubt it's... Let's look at get us a picture of it. I want to know if it's a horizontal or vertical problem. We can troubleshoot it from there.
That sounds good. Well, that about does it for the questions and everything. I did want to just kind of talk about, you know, we wanted to actually record this podcast, about 3 or 4 days ago, but we've been really busy with some projects here in the shop, and we just thank you guys for your patience. You know, we try to get videos out and podcasts out as soon as we can, but, you know, for us, we also, you know, this is obviously something we do on the side apart from our regular arcade repair business. And so we want you guys to understand that, you know, we're working on projects just like you guys are as individuals, except, you know, ours are usually a pretty grand scale. We just got done with a big church job. And so, you know, for us, you know, we repair games, you know, Tim repairs games all day long, almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he's seen so many different problems and solutions, you know, over the years. You know, it's just great to have Tim here to help us share some of the information that he's gained over his time repairing games. So, you know, if we don't always get something out, you know, this week or next week, we apologize for that, but we'll try to get content out just as soon as we can.
Yeah, well, just keep in mind, I learn something new every day, too. Sure. So, and we're learning a lot just from the guys that you send, the things that you are experiencing. So, but, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Probably somebody's experienced it before, so keep emailing, contacting us, sending us pictures, send us a video. You guys are always welcome to call our hotline if so, and you know, whatever we can do to help you guys. Our main goal is we got to get these games up and working like they deserve to be, and so people can play them and we can have some fun.
Sure. Yeah, and let's talk about the ways that you can contact us. We've actually kind of upped the ways you can contact us. Of course, you can still contact us through YouTube, through our YouTube channel. You can also contact us through the website, arcaderepairtips.com. But we have some new methods you can contact us by. We have a Twitter account. We're getting, you know, the kids are all doing the Twitter, so we thought we would too. And our Twitter account is twitter.com/arcaderepair. So if you guys have some short questions that you just want to send in, then you can Twitter them and just put at Arcade Repair, and we'll actually get those questions in as well. We also have a Facebook page now. I won't repeat the link because I think it's pretty long, but you can, if you look down the right-hand side of the website, you'll see a link to the Facebook page. You can also send in your questions that way. And, of course, you can always email them in. We have, of course, T. Peterson, that's Tim, at varcadeentertainment.com. And I'm Jay Leung, L-E-U-N-G, at varcadeentertainment.com. And you guys can always send your questions there. And we also have our phone number on our website. You know, I can't remember at the moment, but, you know, you can always look it up on varcadeentertainment.com. Go to the Contact Us page. And you can also just phone us that way as well.
Jonathan, the phone number is 903-481-9827. It's 903-481-9827. That's 903-481-9VAR.
Yeah, so you guys can always reach us that way. When you call that number, it rings both mine and Tim's cell phones as well as some of our other employees. And so one of us will hopefully be able to pick up that phone and answer your question right there. So if you guys have something that really needs attention, you feel like nobody else is willing to help, we'll definitely try to help you out as best we can.
And as always, you know, like Jonathan said, we have jobs and other responsibilities, families, things like that. Leave us a voicemail if you don't get us, and we'll call you back.
Oh, definitely. And you know, but those are the ways you can contact us. We try to be as open as possible. You know, like Tim said, we're here to help you guys solve your problems. We like to see no game not working. You know, we don't want to see any game, you know, broken down. That's our goal, is to help you guys fix any problems that you might have. Tim, do you have anything before we wrap it up here? Anything you want to bring up?
Just want to encourage everybody that if you want a copy of the DVDs, I know that they're discounted on our site. We'll probably sell some on eBay. Keep sending in suggestions. That's Volume 1, and we definitely enjoy shooting the videos. We got some more that we're going to be doing really soon. And so if there's something that we haven't videoed yet and you want to see, and we haven't got to it yet, be patient, but keep them coming, and we'll video that. And hopefully we'll all learn some things together.
Yeah, and if you guys want to pick up your copy of the Arcade Repair Tips Video Series Volume 1 DVD, you can go to www.arcaderepairtips.com/store. Again, that's www.arcaderepairtips.com/store. And you can pick up our DVD there. I believe it's selling for $18. That includes media mail shipping, which usually takes 7 to 10 days anywhere in the continental United States. So, I mean, not a bad deal at all. And they are very, you know, me and Tim did them. They're very professional quality. And we hope that you guys, you know, if you guys have, you want to buy one as a gift or buy one for yourself, you know, kind of keep out in your shop, reference it anytime you need to do a repair. You know, it has all the stuff that we shot in standard definition with our first camera that we had. Plus, it has some bonus content on there, some of it with Michael and some of it just with Tim. So we highly recommend that you pick that up if you guys, you know, if you guys want kind of like a little collection that you can keep in your shop to refer to every now and then. Not everybody has a computer that they can look up on YouTube, you know, our videos. So it's real handy if you just want to look something up real quick.
Right, and it's better quality than if you try to download it. Plus, you know, we'll just be honest, it helps support us and what we do. And, you know, if we can make a few bucks, that's extra cap kits and stuff that we can buy, videos that we can shoot. Just helps the time that it takes sometimes to do these projects. So we really appreciate everybody's support.
I mean, we have a lot of expenses, of course. We have web hosting and you know, of course, our time and everything that we take away from other projects. So like Tim said, we appreciate that your support in buying our DVDs as well. So anything else, Tim? Or
no, thank you guys so much. We really do appreciate y'all and just the encouragement. You know, we get... I know we don't read every email. Sometimes we just get a phone call or a note that just says, keep up the good work. And we just want to tell y'all, you know, that matters a lot to us. And we just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. And we hope that you guys all have a great time with your families and get some really cool arcade stuff and maybe arcade repair tip DVD. Your wife will get you or something. You guys all have a Merry Christmas. We appreciate you. Appreciate y'all very much.
Yeah, y'all have a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you in episode 3. Take care.